B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philadelphia. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And what a day to be talking sports radio in Philadelphia, because the Phillies have magically transformed the attitude of the Philadelphia fan base with one game and one move. All right, the move, of course, Charlie Manuel. As if Charlie came in and he cast this magic spell on the Phillies clubhouse, and everything is right with the world, and now they're going to turn into this hitting machine. Well, I hope it's right, but you know me, I don't react. Tyrone, the classic reactor, is walking around the hallways of 97.5 The Fanatic, and he is all Phillied up. It took one game, one big score, for Tyrone to be back on the Phillies bandwagon. Isn't that right, Tyrone?
I'm 100% back.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it. You said if they sweep the Cubs, you would be 100% back.
All right.
They need to sweep. They need to win tonight.
They do have
before
to win.
You fully give in.
Yeah, I'll say 75% on. But I'll be 100% if they go ahead and finish this sweep tonight.
All right. Listen, there's nothing not to like about that game last night. It had everything you want, right? You had Cole Hamels versus Aaron Nola matchup. You had Charlie Manuel coming back, his presence in the dugout. You had Bryce Harper unleashing two home runs, which Tyrone actually predicted yesterday. Two home runs. You had Rhys Hoskins swinging at her first pitch and getting a leadoff single in the leadoff hole. You had everything you wanted, and you had the crowd into the game. Yelling, Charlie, Charlie, Charlie. I don't know what that does for Gabe Kapler, but it was an all good feeling last night. So let me ask you this question, Tyrone. If the Phillies had won the game 3-2, would you be that jacked up?
No.
Okay, so it was the score. A big score will do that for you. 11-1, and all of a sudden, it enhances the Phillies' worth in your mind.
It was because of who really delivered.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not banking on everybody, but I am banking on that right fielder and the catcher.
All right.
And that's why I'm all
let's
in.
Let's play with that concept, because we've been yearning for this team to hit together and their most important hitters to really get plugged in and carry this team. Bryce Harper looks like he's turned a little bit of a corner. I don't want to commit completely, but he bashed two monster shots last night off a guy throwing 89 miles an hour. I don't know what happened to Cole Hamels. I read a story where he was ill. I didn't know if he was ill or not. I know that it wasn't the Cole Hamels I remember, even at the start of this season. He had nothing last night. But it's all good. When you bust up a team, the fan base has a tendency to be dragged along into this pool of optimism. And I think that's great. I just don't know if it's realistic. You know, we've been through this season where we react to something. Oh, yeah, now they're going to start hitting when they win a big game. And then they lose a couple. So I don't know. I want to know where you are as a family. I know what Tyrone is. He's pulled in already. You know me. it takes me a lot longer than an 11-1 final for me to get involved in this whole thing. And I hope Charlie Manuel is the guy, just by his presence, because he hasn't had time to enact anything with these hitters. I mean, he just showed up yesterday. Now, he might have told Rhys Hoskins, be aggressive, or, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's imparted some kind of wisdom, but I don't think that he really has gotten into it yet. And so hopefully his presence makes them relax. You know, with Maley there, it was all about thinking this, thinking that. Maybe Charlie has removed that burden, and just by his presence, it's like, okay, Charlie, we know Charlie likes one thing, swing the bat and get a fastball and crush it. So maybe it's turned him around a little bit, but Real Muto is on fire. Harper on fire. A lot of guys hit last night. Cesar continued his hitting, right? Kingery mixed in a double. So hopefully this turns it around for the Phillies. But I want to know, are you in? Are you plunging your whole foot into the water instead of just dipping your toe in right now? Because the Phillies are hanging in there. Now, the teams in the wildcard race didn't do them any favors last night, so there's still a couple out. Right? So all right, what are they? They're the game and a half out in that last wild card spot?
Uh-huh. The Mets did game lose to the Braves, though.
Mets lost to the Braves. Well, the Braves won, and Nationals won, and St. Louis won, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of teams won last night. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk about if you were at the ballpark last night, I want you to describe the atmosphere, because last night was an atmosphere that was pretty cool to be down there. And that's the beauty of baseball. Sometimes you get a night where it's really where Harper delivers. You get down and see Harper hit home runs. He hit two last night. You like to see him score runs. You like to see a starting pitcher that's cuffing the other team. And even last night, the broadcast team, NBC Sports Philly, broadcast team, right behind the dugout.
That was cool.
That was really cool.
With their impaired vision.
They managed to see.
But they managed to see because they were behind the dugout. They weren't right up on the screen. So when there's a gap there, you can see a little bit. But what was the deal with the food that they were consuming last night? It's like overkill.
Well, they were down there.
They can't possibly have been eating all that food.
No, they did a lot of passing. They passed water ice. They passed to the people that were close.
Did they?
They ate some of it, though. You know, Kruk's going to have his share.
Yeah.
But they passed a good amount of it.
All right. Now the Eagles and what's going on with the Eagles. Tonight is... I don't know. You know, game one, we like to ask people, what are you looking for? Is there anything you're looking for in game two? The starters aren't going to play again, probably. Miles Sanders, I was listening to the Midday Show, and I guess who was on? Somebody was one of the guys that covered the team was on. No, I don't think it was him. It was... the little guy. I can't remember his name.
Berman?
Yeah, Berman. I think it was Berman. I'm sorry. I called him the little guy. But Berman was on, and he said that they don't expect to see the rookie running back, Miles Sanders, play a lot tonight either. So this is almost like what do you watch this game for?
For me, it's about the defense again. Mm-hmm. I want to see the linebackers. And I want to see Josh Sweat and some of the defensive linemen. I would like to think there's a bit of a competition right now in that defensive line. Can Hall do what he did last game again? Mm-hmm. So basically, I'm looking for a lot of when the Eagles don't have the ball. Much more than when they do have the ball. I'm not watching hardly anything other than my guy, Mailata, when they have the ball.
Mailata, I'm going to make your day. Hold on. I'm reading a story here. Is this from the Eagles website? This isn't from The Athletic. This is by Bo Wolf. Bo Wolf works for The Athletic?
Yeah.
He does?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he used to work for the website.
Works for The Athletic.
He works for The Athletic now?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, Bo Wolf. he was like an employee of the Eagles for a long time.
He writes for The Athletic.
All right. Well, when did that happen?
Last season.
Did it? No, it can't.
I'm pretty sure it did.
No, you gotta look at that. I don't think he works for the Athletic.
He absolutely does.
Yes. Well, last year he worked for the Eagles. Well, good for him. Anyway, most improved. he's got a list of training camp awards. MVP, most improved, most disappointing, much more. Most improved, he has Jordan Mailata as the most improved.
Club Tyrone.
You are on a roll. Most improved, Jordan Mailata. Last night, Roman Quinn gets another hit.
Yep.
Haseley gets a ground ball that Cole didn't cover first base.
Another hit.
Another hit. So you're on a roll. And you predicted Bryce Harper would hit two home runs last night. And you're in. All it took was them putting 11 runs on the board, beating them 11-1. Suppose they won 11-9.
Oh, I'm still in. It's about the offense, man. It's the about
fact,
the offense.
The fact that they scored 11 runs yeah. for you. Huh?
And what I think there are fans out there that are afraid because, mm-hmm. oh, they've seen this before. No, this is different this time. This we knew this lineup was going to hit, and now we're finally going to see it these last 40 games, 42 games.
Dude, not for nothing, but sometimes I really have to slow you down. It was a good game last night for him.
Yeah.
Cole Hamels had pus.
He didn't look great, but it was a tough. He's a crafty lefty.
He's a crafty lefty.
Crafty lefty.
He wasn't crafty at all last night.
He was crafty.
He threw 89 miles an hour down the plate, down the middle.
It might have been his worst start, but the Phillies made that
happen. Worst start ever.
Yeah, it was worst start ever. He gave up 8 runs and got 6 outs. That had never happened before. Jason Stark tweeted that out.
Listen, people would be right to be happy, but to be on guard. You know, you can't plunge in after a game like this. But we'll see how many plungers we have. Club Tyrone, the king of plungers. 610-632-0975. We already have some people on the line that are optimistic for the rest of the year. All it took was one game. How about that? All right. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It is the Mike Missanelli Show, and it's 2:20. 2 o'clock hour brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, Tension HVAC Contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start our Twitter poll for the day, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers. If you're looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower or buy some new equipment, Moyer has the best deals around. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 500 votes on this one so far. Was last night's Phillies win a fluke? 45% say yes, 55% say no, so it's close.
Yeah, win's a win. They're going to win some games. Can they win enough games to get that playoff spot is the question. And you would have to assume that they hit like that every game, which Tyrone has already assumed.
Now, I don't think they're going to hit every game. I think they need to win. How many games is it going to take to get the wild card? 86?
I'll tell you what you want to do tonight. You want to take $2,000 out of your bank account and bet the Cubs. That's what you want to do tonight. The odds of them winning the sweep in this series with Drew Smiley against Yu Darvish are kind of slim.
Vegas agrees with you.
Yes. So, what will you say then Friday? Will that derail your confidence?
It might. I'm very day-to-day with this Phillies team.
You are such a reactor, man. I swear to God. You don't need much to just react.
Now, what's funny is basketball, football, and hockey, I'm a big picture guy.
Uh-huh.
Baseball, I'm day-to-day.
Guy.
I'm inning to inning sometimes with the baseball.
Can you explain that?
Know what I think it is? It's because...
And it's the longest season.
I know.
Which is weird. You know better than to react for one game at 162 games.
I do know better. But I think it's because it's like the summertime and they're the only game in town for a good chunk of the season, like what, since May, it's been just Phillies.
So you get all excited.
I get myself, when I'm, myself so worked up, like, about the Phillies, like, each day when I'm watching the game.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't want to pour cold water on that today for anybody, because it was a good night to be down there last night. And that's what, you know, that when baseball's really good, something like that happens last night. And I used to, Cole Hamels didn't seem to have any fun being back.
No, not at all.
And because I heard the guys, Tom McCarthy and Kruk, talking about they hadn't seen Cole or talked to him. And those guys just linger around the field in a clubhouse before a game. And like the day before his start, he didn't talk to anybody. And that might be his routine. But when you're back in Philadelphia, it's like, have some fun with it. He seemed to be totally on edge. And he took the mound and he was shooing a cameraman.
Yeah, and he was getting a standing ovation.
He was like, get the camera away. I mean, what does he expect? The camera's going to be on him. Just embrace it. You call Hamels, you're coming back to a mound that you were great on, and so the camera's going to want to take a shot of you. He's shooing a cameraman away.
Is there anything about, you think deep down he wants to be here? Because there were rumors about that. And I'm sure he's like, the Cubs are in the mix and they're a good team. You think he would rather be here if he was on a lie detector?
I think he's a very prideful man. I think he knows he's got nothing left. And the people here remember him as a guy with something. So I think he came in here very insecure about that part of it.
I remember you thought that perhaps with Iverson with the big three.
Yeah.
That maybe he wanted to present something that he couldn't really present anymore and he didn't feel good about it.
But Hamels is smart to know that he doesn't have it anymore.
No, AI did end up not only played a couple minutes because I think he knew as well. I think that is a tough thing, that pride with pro athletes.
Yeah, well, he didn't have any fun with it at all. So, and, you know, I put myself in his. He's going out there with an 89 mile an hour fastball. He knows he's going to get raked, so it can't be a fun thing. He can't have anticipated not being a whole Cole, right? So he's taking him out, not being a whole Cole, and people are going to see it. That's what I think bothered him.
But the people still love him.
And that's why he should have embraced it. Because, they're down 4-0. He comes up to the plate. They give him a standing ovation. Tip the cap. I mean, he's got this stern look on because he gave up 4. Who cares? They don't care. I know you care. You have some pride about your performance, but they're worshiping you there. Just give it a cap flip. It took like 30 seconds for him to do something.
Yeah, you're right about that. And that's another thing where Philadelphia does a classy thing.
Yeah.
And we're a great fan base, but the next negative thing will get talked about.
He was very resistant to it. Embrace it, dude. All right, Jim in Swarthmore. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
How you doing?
What's up, Jim?
Tyrone, I'm going to give you some support in your optimism. The reason that I feel a lot better today than I did yesterday with Charlie Manuel is that the Phillies under Kapler basically have been a reactive team. Get as many pitchers, get the pitcher out, the starting pitcher, all that. Whereas everybody in the world knows Charlie Manuel's philosophy. You know, I heard him interview once. He said the best percentage of getting a strike down the middle fastball is the first pitch because the pitcher wants to try to get ahead. Well, they've gone from a reactive team now to a proactive team. And this is much more suitable to the talent they have. And I think if the owner, the fact that the owner brought in Manuel, even though Kapler is still the manager, I'm going to tell you something, I don't think Kapler has any say now on the approach or any of this as it regards the offense. Whether Manuel says anything or not, it's not even important. The fact that the owner brought him in, because he wasn't happy. And I think you're going to see the Phillies, a different team, more aggressive, because they have not been aggressive. All we keep talking about is, let's get the starting pitcher out, let's get to the bullpen. Taken. Mm-hmm. That's all they did was take. Mm-hmm. I bet you last night they hit more first ball pitches than in any game this year. I'm just guessing. I don't know.
We'll have to research that.
anyway, that's why I'm not.
Listen, I think your theory is very plausible. Maybe Charlie Manuel has, you know, unlocked whatever was locking these guys, and his presence is going to be give have that effect on this lineup.
And he brings a
but
resume.
I think we have to be careful not to overreact. Charlie has flown in like with a red cape.
No, I understand it, but the thing of it is, Charlie also has a resume of success. That it's one thing telling people something when you haven't done anything, but Charlie on that same field has been the hero. So he carries a lot of cachet without opening his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was the hitting coach of some Hall of Fame players like Albert Bell. So we're talking about somebody who knows the game.
Tim Tomey.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just think they're now going to be aggressive. And whether they make the playoffs or not, it's going to be much more fun watching them be aggressive.
All right, Jim, I got you, man. I'm glad you're optimistic. You know me, it takes me a little bit longer. I need to see consistency before I'm in. I've always been that way. And my philosophy on the pitching was just that. And how'd that work out? Yeah, I don't overreact to one Nick Pivetta start. So I'm not going to overreact to a night where they scored 11 runs. I think it's really nice. I hope that Charlie's presence there last night, because he certainly hadn't been there long enough to impart any philosophy. I hope his presence was a message to these guys that, now we can just let loose. Let's go to Don in Lancaster. Don, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Don.
Hi, Michael. First time caller.
Thanks, Don.
Listen, Michael, I just want to know this Philly roster on the bench. These guys they all got on the bench are nothing but minor league ball players, guy.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to do that now.
I know that, but the thing of it is, I mean, you guys got Andrew Knapp and Roman Quinn. Them guys, I mean, the pitcher staff, Pavetta, and Eflin, them guys ain't major leaguers, Michael, or they're not ready.
You can't do anything about it now. What are you going to do? I mean, that's part of the equation on what they can do for the rest of the year.
I understand. But, you know, there's no way you can make the playoffs, and they wouldn't stand a chance against some of them teams in the league.
Well, they would stand a chance against everybody else except the Dodgers. The teams that are in the wild card race are just as mediocre as they are.
I don't know. I think the Braves are a way better ball club than the
Braves are a division winner. We're talking about the teams that are in the wild card. The Braves aren't exceptional. Their starting pitching isn't exceptional. You could probably beat them in a series. You're not going to beat the Dodgers. It really might not matter. You're not going to beat the Dodgers anyway. But it's still, you can make it interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure they could, but, you know, they just, you know, but minor leaguer. I mean, I understand nothing they can do, but next year they need to get some ball players. I mean, it's a major league.
Yeah, well, we can't talk about next year. This year, we got to look at this year. You're preaching to a choir, though. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do about it this year, bro.
I understand fully, but
you're letting something in.
I don't care who they bring in, Charlie Manuel, or who pitching coach they bring in. They ain't gonna do them no good.
Oh, they're right, but they're
lineup and that's it.
Dude, Don just keeps talking, man. I can't get a word in edgewise. There's listen, for whatever you think of the Phillies, and I thought, like in the last couple of weeks, that they were on a cycle down, and that they would soon enough show you that they're out of the wild card race. But I look up, and a win last night keeps them a game and a half out. So they're not totally out of it. Now, if they sweep this series, people are going to be reinterested in their chances. But again, when you have to run in now, you have to run into Smiley, Eflin, Vargas. Eventually, teams will run into these pitchers. So you better, you know, this offense has to be good every night. And I don't know if they're going to be good every night, and I can't judge it off of one game. There.
I mean, that's fair, but look at the Booney stat I put on the screen for you. That's courtesy of Booney.
7 of their 9 hits off Hamels were the first or second pitch. All right.
See, that's instant Charlie right there. That's instant Charlie. Charlie, who somebody said, just go up there and hit. I don't think
it also might be instant Cole. Because if I'm in the on-deck circle and I see Cole Hamels is throwing 89, guess what?
I don't think they would have done that
before. I'm going to be really aggressive on first and second pitches.
I don't think so.
He had nothing.
He had a bad game.
But he had nothing. He had nothing. His breaking ball had no bite. His fastball had no life. So, yes, they hit. They hit off a guy who was just, come on.
You know, his ERA actually isn't that bad this year.
Cole?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's coming back from an oblique.
Yeah, and he might have been sick.
His last two starts have not been good. His timing is off. After the game, Madden said there's something going on with his delivery and his timing. It's not there, and that's why he's not driving his lower body, and that's why he's coming up 89.
But what I need to see tonight is, even if they don't hit, and I hear what you're saying, and it may not hit every night, if they have that same kind of approach, then I think that could be enough. I'm just looking at how many wins do they need to get in. I think they need 26 wins in 42 games to get in.
We'll see, because Darvish is a better pitcher than Cole Hamels. So we'll see if they're as aggressive against Darvish. What's the line on this game tonight?
The Cubs are like minus 141.
Oof.
Hey, listen, I said Vegas agreed with you.
Oof. Minus 141?
Yeah.
Oof.
I told you Vegas agreed. What did we say?
Yeah, well. All right, that's like stealing. Minus 141. Joe and Broomall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Joe?
First thing, prayers and thoughts to our Philadelphia Pioneers. Hell of a job yesterday.
Yes, I wanted to say that. I wasn't going to like say it until the 3 o'clock hour, but since you brought it up, the Philadelphia police to be commended in a very dangerous situation yesterday.
Very bad.
And it went on for a really long time, and a few of them got nicked, but they did a great job with that situation yesterday.
Yeah, very happy to see that the fathers will be going home to the kids and wives and enjoy some more Philadelphia sports in the future. So, that being said, I just had an idea. I was talking to my wife, Flo. Wanted to see what you thought. We were talking about the exhibition season, and I had an idea. And if you could just let me finish out my whole thought.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of removing two exhibition games and turning them into regular season, expand their roster from 53 to 61, And I just thought, and I wanted to know what your thoughts were. And I wasn't, going to think this was going to be the idea, but I wanted to know your thoughts on that.
They're not going to have 18 games. The players have already turned that down.
Oh, well, okay.
Now I'm with you. I don't need 18 games. What I need are two preseason games. That's it. So I agree with you on that score.
Okay. All right.
I think the preseason is a joke. Really, nobody plays their people anymore. So what's the point? I would cancel the preseason altogether. I really would. I don't need a preseason game. But these owners won't do that because they get revenue out of it.
Well, I watch the Football Network, and I watch game after game after game, and nobody's playing their starting quarterback.
Nobody's playing anybody anymore. They're not even playing their starters anymore in these preseason games.
Except for maybe exhibition game 3 and 4, maybe.
Well, we'll see this year. Because I think the trend is don't play anybody. And if you're going to play them, play in one series in game 3. Well, it's ridiculous.
No argument.
So take it away. Take the preseason away. Go into the season. No preseason games. Oh, my God. Is that going to be that terrible? They're professional players. They've been practicing for 6 weeks. Start the season.
Really? If I may extend another point. I didn't tell your producer this, but I wanted to just say something. This is my opinion on Manuel. I think he is going to sit on the bench. He's going to be quiet, and he's going to evaluate for the owner. And at that point, if somebody wants to come up to him about hitting, he'll be oh so glad to talk to them about it.
He's not
going to
be quiet.
Whatever.
He's not going to be quiet. Guaranteed.
Yeah, no. I think he's just going to.
He's not going to be quiet. He's going to try to teach. He's there for a specific reason. He is there to improve their offense. He's not there for being a spy. Now, if that comes with the job description and Middleton wants him to spy, fine. But what he really wants to do, he's invested in teaching guys how to hit. He's not going to just sit there and not do that. His whole existence is teaching guys how to hit. All right. I like my man. He dropped his wife's name in that. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he gave her a little shout-out.
That was sweet.
My wife, Flo.
Yeah.
Now, you don't see the Flo very, very often. Flo is, when I hear Flo, gets my attention because you don't hear flow very much.
Well, we did Oldest Todd yesterday. We came up with Rundgren.
Yeah, Todd. But Flo is even more obscure.
Right, so who's the youngest Flo? Is there anybody named Flo under 40?
I don't know.
The lady that's on the
Progressive commercials?
I'm saying that's not a real name. I'm talking about, in real life, have you ever met a Flo that's under 60?
No, because it's short for Florence.
That's what I mean.
Which is an old name.
Yeah.
So I wonder who the youngest person is that's married that the husband says, hey, Flo.
Yeah. Well, Florence is interesting as a name. Flo is more interesting.
Yes.
Like, the short version of Florence makes you pay attention.
It does.
Yeah.
It upgrades the name. It does.
Right.
It's a powerful name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Flo.
Here comes Flo.
It's nice.
Hey, Flo, how you doing?
Go to Mike in the Northeast. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Isn't that the progressive girl's name, Flo?
Yeah, we just said that.
Oh, okay. It got in between the static there.
Yeah.
Listen, we've been putting up with this inept coaching staff for about a year and three quarters now, and it was a great move. I know it's only one game with Charlie. Don't you think it's time to get a new pitching coach, too? And I was thinking Jamie Moyer.
Why?
Because of Vargas and Smiley. I mean, they're both kind of washed. And maybe a guy like that could come in and show them, you know.
What's Jamie Moyer going to teach a guy that throws 95?
Well, Jamie Moyer had a pretty good, you know, he was like, what, 40-something?
Yeah, he threw 78. Yeah. Right? You're like, how can he relate to...
Well, these guys aren't... Their velocity isn't that strong anyway.
Well, but you're not going to get Jamie Moyer to make Smiley and Vargas better. You want to improve your pitching staff altogether. No, I would say no.
That was just my thought of saying
I'm not feeling you. Did he hang up on me?
Oh, man.
He hung up on me.
How dare you?
Jamie Moyer, because he can relate to Smiley and Vargas? I guess he could teach those guys a little bit. I don't know. It seems like they already know how to pitch at that velocity.
Yeah. This keeps happening. Why do we keep on
recycling
and nominating people who he was here? He has the long ponytail.
He cut it. He cleaned it up.
He didn't have. I thought he had the ponytail when he was last here, though.
No,
he's cleaned it up since then.
He was just here. He was just here for the reunion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first time he was here, he still had it. And then he cut it.
He's cleaned up now.
But does he want to be? He's a guy who might
He might want to. I don't know. Why would he be a good candidate? Like, what? I don't know. I guess he's as good as anybody else. But, like why now? Wants to bring him in now.
I just, in all season.
Because Charlie was brought in to be a hitting coach, bring Moyer in as the pitching coach.
Charlie wants to be a hitting coach. Charlie wants to have a job, clearly. I don't know. Jamie might just be sitting on the money.
Maybe he'd be a good pitching coach, but they're not going to change that. The strength of the team was hitting, so they wanted to enhance that. That's the only chance they have if they get the offense going. There's only so much you can do with this pitching staff.
I wouldn't even fire the pitching coach in the offseason.
You're not going to turn Vargas into Kershaw. All right, 610-632. He hung up on me, man.
You were supposed to agree with me.
I said no, and he hung up on me. All right. 610-622-0975. More Antonio Brown shenanigans have broke. Have you seen this story?
No.
Yeah, well, apparently he owes some money like Joe Pesci and Goodfellas. The waiter came over for collect the bill. We'll tell you the story after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To 97.5 The Fanatic.
246. This Antonio Brown is a mess, man. You take he is like 100% drama anymore. It's not. It's probably not even worth it to go through this drama with this dude. Here's the latest. He's facing a civil lawsuit that alleges he stiffed a chef's bill of nearly $40,000 during Pro Bowl festivities last year. Have you ever heard of this guy named the Sports Chef? His name is Stefano Tedeschi.
And it sounds familiar.
He has a restaurant in Florida called Stefano's. So Tony Brown apparently hired him for the Pro Bowl festivities, and he cooked all this kind of food, and you know, they had a big party and the whole bit. And so then Antonio apparently terminated the guy without paying him. So the guy now files, he says Antonio Brown owes him $38,521.20.
It's a hefty food bill.
I got to find out, though.
It's like Sonny coming over to Tommy.
Although he fired him.
Not just this one. It's seven big ones. Seven G's, you owe me.
I might be on Antonio's side on this one.
Yeah?
On this one. I mean, he's too much drama, but what happens if he asked for chicken wings and this chef decided to start doing his take on chicken wings? Or he asked for macaroni
This guy is known to other athletes. He has done parties for other athletes where, he's cooked for Larry Fitzgerald and a lot of sports. That's why he's called the Sports Chef. So he's well known in the industry.
Right, but he said he fired him. So I wonder, why'd he fire him?
I fired him because he didn't want to pay the bill. So he fires him. He fires him after they eat. You know, listen, you know athletes are used to getting everything for free, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure Antonio Brown goes, I'm Antonio Brown. What's this guy going to do? He cooked the food already. I have to pay him. I'm Antonio Brown. He should want to do it for me. I'm a star.
You got a lot of money.
That's what their philosophy is. You know that.
He should have paid the guy if that's the case, because he has the $40,000.
Of course he does.
He got that walking around
money. But no athlete wants to pay. You know that.
Yeah.
No athlete wants to pay.
Come on, Antonio. Unless the food was inedible, you got to pay.
So what Antonio said was, you want to laugh? Last week, Stefano asked me to christen his kid. Yeah, $38,000 I charge. All right, let's go to Jim in Aston. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Jim? How you doing?
Love your show, buddy.
Thanks.
Excellent show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to get your opinion. With the Phillies bringing Charlie Manuel back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he's going to be involved in the analytics of the game, of all the active velocity and all the crap that goes on?
It's interesting that you ask that question, because his philosophy is not to do that. But in the they're teaching that way in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
So I think that he's just here for the remainder of the season to let these guys feel looser and not worry about analytics. Now, I don't know what that does for the future of this organization, because the guys in charge are analytics people. So next year, if there's a different hitting coach, they'll probably go back to the same way.
Yeah, I just don't buy the analytics of the whole MLB anymore, with the exit velocity, mm-hmm. the pitch count, all that. I just don't buy.
How do you like how the Dodgers use it?
Well,
how do you like how the Astros use it? How do you like how the New York Yankees use it?
Okay, well, that's...
You okay with that?
That's coming from that's coming from their minor league system.
The Phillies are trying to implement it in their minor league system. The launch angle is pretty good for those teams, right?
That's bringing up your players from the minor leagues, teaching them how to play the game without the analytics.
No, it's not. Launch angle has been instituted in the game now. More people use it than not. More people are more inclined to get the ball. It's backspin that makes the ball carry longer.
I understand that. I agree with you 100%. But back when the Phillies won a World Series, they never had this.
The game changes. The game changes.
You still have to pitch the game, and you still have to hit the ball.
I get it. If you hit more home runs, are you good?
It depends if guys are on base.
Well, that's all I can tell you is the Yankees hit home runs. Look, they've got 81 wins on the board.
Yeah, that's fine. Right.
Okay, and, well, it's not a bad in this day and age, the way the ball is, the way the ballparks are, it's not a bad philosophy. I know we want to go back in time and play small ball. Small ball's out of style. They don't do it anymore.
But if they went back in time to go back in time.
Jim, you're fighting and something that's not going to happen. They're not going to go back in time.
I'm just old-fashioned. I know you are.
It sounds like you're old-fashioned. Everybody fights this launch angle concept, forgetting that it works damn good for guys who could actually do it. Right? If you've got a lineup of guys that can make contact with launch angle, you hit a lot of home runs, and you win a lot of games. Let's go to Ian in North Philly. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Yo, Mike. What's going on, Ian? Natalie, how y'all doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm good. So first, I want to start off with Tyrone, because he straight up predicted that Bryce smacked two home runs last night.
Yep.
He really did. I listened to you guys.
Can you turn your radio off or your TV, whatever you got going on in the background?
Okay, my bad.
That's all right. All right.
That's good? You good now?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, yeah. So I listen to you guys every day. When he said it, I was like, I don't think so, Tyrone. I watched the game, and I was like, yo, he called it. But to the Eagles, what are we looking for tonight? I mean, I honestly, preseason now, I don't think Wentz is going to play at all. I don't think he should. So it's kind of like pointless to watch the game. I mean, I do want to see.
He's not playing.
He's not?
No.
Okay.
He won't play, nor will most of their starters.
As they should. They should keep everybody just in bubble wrap until week one.
I totally agree. I want the commissioner to cancel the rest of the preseason.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. Mm-hmm. But I do want to see the 6'5 receiver that they got. Carlton, I can't pronounce his last name.
The kid from Rutgers?
Yeah.
He's pretty much off the radar now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I was interested in that size, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it, but he's not going to make the squad.
All right, man.
All right. I was intrigued by him, too. He's got size, but he hasn't flashed lately. So, and he has a chance to play in game one. He didn't do anything. All right, 610-620-975. We'll talk about the Phillies with Bob Brookover, who covers the Phillies for the Inquirer. And, you know, that last question was very interesting. The offensive analytics theory, which they are trying to impart, how does Charlie's presence derail it? Does it derail it? Like, what's it do? They're going to say, all right, hit Charlie's way for the rest of the season, but next year we're going to go back to the way we teach. Like, what's going to happen with that? 610-632-0975, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.